I am so glad that our Father in heaven tells of his love in the book he has given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see. This is the dearest, that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me, Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. Song I can sing when in his beauty I see the great King. This shall my song in eternity be. Oh, what a wonder that Jesus loves me! I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me.
Jesus loves even me.
Jesus loves even me.
Amen. Thank you so much, Scott, Brenda, and Natalie, for that song. Thank you, Jesus, for loving even me. Amen. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Matthew chapter 6 once again. We've been going through the book of Matthew on our Sunday morning services. And so when I start preaching on money this morning, you'll know that it's there automatically, you know, and so you can't accuse me of always preaching on money. That's one of the things I like about going through a book of the Bible. You come across topics, you know, and you get opportunity to preach on the whole counsel of God, as the scripture says. And so today I've titled the message, Spiritual Investments. You know, while we're here on earth, sometimes we make investments for our retirement or whatever, and there's nothing wrong with that. But we need to make some eternal investments as well, some spiritual investments. And so as we look at this passage of scripture this morning, we will look how this relates to wealth, worry, and wisdom. And so God gives us different amounts of wealth, if we want to call it that, material things. And sometimes people worry that they don't have enough. And we all need wisdom and how to deal with what we have. So let's pray and we'll look at spiritual investments today. Father, we thank you for the service so far. What a blessing and encouragement the fellowship and the music has been to my heart. And Lord, we thank you for your word that you have given to us. It's eternal, it is infallible, and it is a word from you to us. And so you have a message for us in your word, and in particular, this passage of scripture today. Help us not to miss what you have for us. Help us to open our hearts to receive what you have. May your Holy Spirit have his way in each heart and life as we are attentive to the Spirit speaking through your word. In Christ's name, amen. As we look at wealth this morning, we're going to see that there are treasures that are earthly. It says in verse 19, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. Now, this does not mean it's wrong to put money in the bank. It's not wrong to have a 401k. It's not wrong to have 403b, as we have here at the school for nonprofits. It's not wrong to plan for the future. The Bible talks about that. He's making a contrast here. He's not saying that we should spend everything we have, you know, like some people's philosophy is, you know, with inflation, you know, and money losing its value. The best way to get the most from your money is spend it as soon as you get it. That way it doesn't lose any more value. That's not what he's telling us to do. Down in verse 24, you see the word mammon. It says you cannot serve God and mammon. And that word means materialism, gathering all the stuff of this world. And so we don't live our lives to see how much we can gather. As the saying goes, he that dies with the most toys wins. He who dies with the most toys still dies. He who dies with the most toys leaves them all behind. We don't take anything with us there. And so even though we plan for our families, as God has commanded us to do, that we prepare for that, that is not where we're going to put most of our emphasis in our lives. There's something more to this. In verse 20, he says to lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Now, how do we do that? Do you, on your offering envelope, do you, instead of dropping it in the plate here at Sumter Bible Church, do you put it in an envelope and put heaven somewhere beyond the sky, you know, and see if it's going to get to God? How do you lay up treasure in heaven? Well, we're going to see some things today as we go through, as we do that. And it's not like, you know, one person said, you know, however you give on earth, you're going to be able to see it in heaven, you know, and how much you give. When you get to heaven, the way you're going to get around on the streets of gold, you know, with automobiles, and you give a lot down here, you're going to have a Rolls Royce. And people say, oh, see the guy driving the Rolls Royce. And, you know, if you didn't give that much, you know, you might be in one of these little smart cars, you know. I saw one of those one time when I was with my son. And I said, there's what you need. And I think he's bigger than the car, so I don't think he would fit in it there. And like the one person said, okay, I'm looking for my preacher now. I'm going to see what kind of car he's driving. And then he comes around the corner on roller skates, you know, there. You know, and so it's not how much we give determines what anything we're going to get for self in heaven. But the way that we give to the Lord and the way we give our service to the Lord, the Bible talks about rewards in heaven. That we have gold, silver, and precious stones, or we have wood, hay, and stubble. Through the works we do and through the giving that we do, we're able to lay up some treasures in heaven. And we don't have to worry if the stock market of heaven is going to crash, do we? Because it's not going to happen there. And so there are treasures in heaven that God has for us. The way that we use our money here, the way that we use our time, the way that we use our gifts, our talents that he's given to us, the way we use those things are blessings to people now, but also we are laying up some kind of treasure in heaven. We don't fully understand what it is and what it will do, but we know that that's what the Scripture teaches. And so with all the treasures we gain in heaven, we will be able to cast our crowns at the Lord and honor him there even more than we honor him now by using the treasures that he gives to us. But he tells us to watch out because in this world there are thieves. And these thieves like to break through, is the word in verse 19. It actually is a word that means to tunnel under there. In the older cities, they had the walls around them. If someone wanted to break through, they could tunnel under there. And Satan likes to work to destroy the things that God is doing. Satan wants to destroy this church. Satan wants to destroy your life. And he will rip through and do anything he can to keep us from laying up treasures in heaven. Jesus said that those that try to enter into the sheepfold through any other way than the gate, they're thieves and robbers. They're trying to be a part of God's church without coming through the gate. And Jesus said, he's the only way. There's no other way to get to God except through the door. Jesus says, I am the door. Nobody gets in except through him. And Satan will sometimes try to sneak in. Sometimes he does that through people, pawns in his hands. And Satan will use people to try to disrupt what God is doing in the church. And so these are thieves that rip apart and they come in to steal. They come in to rob and take what is not theirs. And so we not only have Satan who likes to try to rip through and tear things up, but there's someone else we have to be on guard for. And we know who that is. It's self, isn't it? Because we can sometimes steal things away from God that are not ours. And he's talking about treasures, and he talks about the tithe belongs to the Lord. And if we take that which is the Lord's, we have stolen from God. How can we lay up treasures in heaven and bring honor to the Lord when we steal from that which is God's and we don't give it to God? And so Satan wants to work to rob us, and our sinful nature will sometimes rob us from the blessings that God has for us. When we are obedient to Him and trust in Him, we'll see more about faith in just a little bit. In verse 32, skip around a little bit, down to verse 32, we'll come back to the others. It says, "For after all these things do the Gentiles seek there." And what were they seeking for? As we look through this passage of Scripture, it says they were worrying about their food, what they're going to eat. They were worrying about, he says, can you, by taking thought, add one cubit to your stature? Can you increase your height or raiment? And they were worried about these things, food and fitness and fashion. Now, do we need food? Is there anything wrong with having food? We have to have it, don't we? Is there anything wrong with being fit? It's good to be fit there. Take care of the body as best we can. It is the temple of God. Is there anything wrong with wearing clothes? Obviously not, you know. So there's nothing wrong with these things. But what Jesus is teaching here, we can let things get our focus. And so that now we're thinking about all these things that God knows we have need of these things. And we'll see that verse in just a little bit as well. And so these things can distract us from heavenly treasures that we are to lay up, and they can get our focus on earthly things, things that we have to have, and God knows that we need them. And so we'll look at that in just a minute. So now let's look at not only the wealth, but also worry. He says, take no thought. Take no thought. He says that phrase several times in this passage, and so we have to have the right focus. Look, if you will, at verse 22. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? And so, are you constantly worried about necessities? Do you worry about where you're going to get your next meal? Do you worry about your health? Do you worry about where you're going to get your clothes? Now, we should never worry. It's kind of bad for us because whenever we come to understand that worrying is sin, because worry is a lack of faith, and whatsoever not of faith is sin. And so then when we start worrying, we say, oh no, now I'm sinning. And sometimes it might even be a domino effect, and we start worrying more because now we know that we're sinning. But notice what he says about the eye here. He talks about the single eye. If your eye is single, the word there means not being complex, doesn't mean single as opposed to being married. But what he's talking about is don't be married to the world and all the things that the world has to give, but have that single focus, have that single-mindedness there. If you think about focusing, we can really only focus on one thing at a time, can't we? We have the expression sometimes, look into my eye, because even as close as the eyes are, you can't focus on both of someone's eyes at the same time. Because when you go to focus, you are fixing your mind and your eyes and your attention on one spot. And that's what he's teaching here, that we can focus either on laying up treasures in heaven or we can focus on the things of the world. And he says we need to have our eye be single, not double-minded there, or double vision, and that's what we see in verse 23. He says, don't let your eye be sinful. Evil is the word that's used in the verse here. It's darkness. Without my glasses, I have some double vision. If I take them off and which I don't do until I'm ready to go to bed, because, you know, we have this clock in the bedroom, and it has numbers on it about this big, LED clock. And if I'm in the bed and I look without my glasses, I see them twice, you know, and I really have to squint and do like that. And they're big enough that I can actually see them in the dark without my glasses, you know. But I have that double vision there. And that's what he's telling us, that we don't need to look to God and self. We don't need to look to God and our employer. We don't look to God and my investments. We don't have a double vision, that we're looking to God. He is the source of all that we need. Our food, our fitness, and in our clothes, all of those things, God takes care of those things. And so in verse 30, when Jesus is addressing this, he says to them, "Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith?" Oh, ye of little faith. And so little faith is worrying. So he says, don't worry about all of these things. He says, God knows that you have need of these things there. Spurgeon said this, "Little faith will take your soul to heaven. Great faith will bring heaven to your soul." It only takes a little bit of faith to get saved there. Jesus said even faith the grain of a mustard seed can move mountains there. You see in your bulletin another quote from Spurgeon as we think about faith as it relates to tomorrow. In the bulletin it says, "Anxiety does not empty tomorrow of its sorrows, but it only empties today of its strength." So when we're having anxiety about tomorrow, what we're going to eat, what we're going to wear, where everything is coming from, he says, don't worry about tomorrow. Verse 34, "Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." And so he says, today's the day. We were looking at the Lord's Prayer last Sunday, and remember in the Lord's Prayer, he's taught us to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." Not give it to us for tomorrow, but give us this day our daily bread. There's a slogan going around, I think there was a song too, I'm not sure, you've heard the phrase probably, "Don't worry, be happy." Yeah, you've heard it. Don't worry, be happy. Well, how can we not worry and be happy? Having faith. That's where it is. Trusting God. Because when we think about worrying, we are, how am I going to figure this out? I got to solve this thing. Rather than leaving it with the Lord. Not only does worry get our focus on the problems and the need rather than on the supplier of the need, it kills faith, and we want to put our faith in the Lord. But we also see in verse 32, he says, "Your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things." When we were looking at the Lord's Prayer last Sunday, remember how Jesus taught the disciples to pray, how to address God? "Our Father, which art in heaven." He's our Father, and it tells us about his knowledge. God knows that we need food. He created us that way, and so he knows that we need that. He's going to take care of that because he's a loving and a good Father. He knows that we have need of clothes. He's going to provide those things. He has knowledge of every need we have. Not just the needs we have right now. God has knowledge of what I'm going to need when I'm 88 like my dad. He knows what I'm going to need then. If I'm here, he may not see fit to leave me here that long. God knows what I'm going to need at every day of my entire life. He knows what you're going to need each day. And so therefore we live each day one day at a time, because God knows our needs. And not only does He know our needs, He cares for us. It says He takes care of the grass of the field. He takes care of the sparrow, the birds. If He takes care of all of those things, won't He care for you? Why do we worry? Let's trust God. So rather than why worry, be happy, or don't worry, be happy, it's don't worry, have faith. Don't worry, trust God there. But also, not only His knowledge, but His kingdom in verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. We're not here to build a kingdom for ourselves, are we? We're not here to build the biggest bankroll that we can, like the Gentiles, he mentions in verse 32. All these things the Gentiles seek after. Those, of course, are non-Jews, a reference to those who were not God's people. And those of us who are God's people, we don't look to self. We don't look to how we can take care of all our needs. We look to a heavenly Father who knows our need. He cares for our needs. He has a kingdom, and we are a part of that kingdom. It is the kingdom of God. And every kingdom must have a king. And every kingdom must have subjects in that kingdom. And He's the king, and we're the subjects. And we trust Him because He indeed is the King and Lord of everything, as we have sung. But God gives us money. He gives different amounts to different people for His own reasons and His own purposes. We don't know why He chooses some, but we do know that we need wisdom. Jesus references Solomon here in verse 29. He said, "Yet I say unto you that even Solomon, and all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these," talking about the lilies of the field in verse 28. Now, we think of Solomon and we think of wisdom, because God said to Solomon, "What one thing do you want?" And because he didn't ask for wealth and he didn't ask for honor, he asked for wisdom. The Bible says God gave him wisdom and He also gave him honor, and gave him the wealth as well. And so the Lord references that. He knows that Solomon was rich here. And look at verse 33. What do we need wisdom to do? We need wisdom for our priorities. And our first priority is in verse 33. Seek first. First, the kingdom of God. Again, I remind you of last week when we were looking at the Lord's Prayer. Remember, the Lord's Prayer was divided into two parts, as we saw last week. We start out the prayer by saying, "Our Father, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done." And so when we focus on the Lord's name, the Lord's kingdom, and the Lord's will, then after that, we begin to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." And so our priorities must be God's kingdom and His name, His will, above our needs even. And so how do we get involved in God's kingdom? Well, there are two things we can do. We can evangelize. We witness. We bring people into the kingdom. And whenever we bring people into the kingdom of God, you know what we're doing? We're laying up treasures in heaven. Those who are already in the kingdom of God, and we have opportunity to encourage them or edify them, the biblical word, evangelize and edify. As we edify one another through words of encouragement, through music, we're laying up treasures in heaven whenever we are building God's kingdom, when we are helping those within the kingdom to grow in the Lord there. And so we have our priorities right, the kingdom of God. Secondly, purity. May God give us wisdom for purity. The word in verse 33 is righteousness. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. His kingdom is a kingdom of righteousness, isn't there? He's going to rule with a rod of iron. When He comes and He rules on this earth, it's going to be a kingdom of righteousness. And we as subjects in His kingdom now need to have righteousness in our lives. We need to have purity in our lives. And the righteousness that we get when we first obtain it, it's when we trust Christ as our Savior, and the righteousness of Christ is imputed to us. And we are righteous because of His wonderful grace that we've sung about this morning. And can it be, you know, Jesus loves even me? All of these things, He's done that for us. He's given us the righteousness of Christ. And our eyes focus must be on the righteousness of God and His kingdom. And then in verse 33, He says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things that He's talked about, they shall be added to you." And so God will provide. God is a wonderful Father. He knows everything we need. He knows when we're going to need it. And He loves us and He cares and He will meet our needs there. Do you believe that? Do you believe that He cares and He will meet all of our needs? Amen. We believe He just loves us and cares for us. The question we ask ourselves, does it show in my spiritual investments with my investment in the lives of other people, my investments with the money God has given to me? Am I investing these things to build up the kingdom of God, or am I using it to build up my own estate here and not using it for the Lord? As we finish up the end of the outline, kind of summarize some of these things, some contrasting thoughts. As I went through this passage and studying these, notice the different contrasting thoughts that come through as we look at spiritual investments and carnal, worldly, earthly investments. We see heavenly treasures and earthly treasures as we talked about them. We see a single eye and an evil eye. And whenever I did this on my screen, they went right across from each other. They're not matching up here like they did on my computer. There's a light and darkness. If the eye be single, there's light and darkness. Notice the contrast of all of these things. As we seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness, there are heavenly treasures. We have a single-mindedness, a focus on those things. And there's the light of the world is Jesus, but darkness is the way of Satan and self there. A heart for God, do we demonstrate that? Where our treasure is, there our heart is also. At the back of the auditorium, we have a thermometer back there, a thermostat back there. And the thermostat, you know, regulates the temperature, and you can see what the temperature is in here. And that's what He's saying about this. If we have a thermostat on our hearts, where your treasure is, there's your heart. And it tells us whether we have a heart for God or we have a heart for money. Materialism, again, is what that means. There's trust and anxiety. Do we trust God? Or do we worry about where all these things are going to come from? Righteousness or things? I think there's one more. Today or tomorrow? All of these things, there's such a contrast. But when we look at, am I laying up treasures for earth? Am I laying up treasures for heaven? There's just a different lifestyle, isn't there, here when we are focused on heavenly treasures. And that's our eye, and there's light, a heart for God, and trusting Him and building up righteousness and living for today. You've heard the saying, no doubt, that yesterday is past, you can't regain it, and tomorrow is future, and you don't have a guarantee of it. And today is what we have right now. That's why it's called the present. It's a gift. God has given us today to build His kingdom there. And so are you using today for spiritual investments? We don't have a guarantee of tomorrow. Let's use the day that the Lord has given to us. This is the day the Lord has made. We rejoice. We're glad in it. And we use it to build spiritual investments so that there's treasure laid up in heaven with which we can honor the Lord when we get there. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as Christians, that means disciples, followers of Jesus. And so to be walking in fellowship with our Master, we must be following the teachings that our Lord gave to us. And Lord, as humans, we confess that sometimes we don't have the faith that we should have, that we do worry about these things that we have need of. Lord, we thank you that you know our needs, that you care for our needs, and you will provide in your own way. Help us to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then believe that all these things will be added to us as you will. Thank you for your grace and love to us. In Jesus' name, amen.